Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, August 17th, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
I'm beat, but I'm good. Thanks for having us.
You know, I'm glad you are such a trooper and you're able to just soldier on.
Back at you.
Yeah. Hey, John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. I got my walk in this morning before the morning meeting and feel pretty good.
Excellent. I'm glad that that you are staying healthy.
Wait a minute. Is that when the sun is on the other side of the sky? Because I've heard about this morning business.
Big fireball up high. Scary. You've probably seen it once or twice.
Yeah, but there's people that say that sometimes it's on the other half of the sky.
I think that's unsubstantiated.
Okay. I'm a nighttime person myself, Brian, but if I don't get up and walk in the morning when it's blue sky, we're in the monsoon season here in Colorado, so it rains in the afternoon.
I see. Yeah.
So anyhow, big fireball. Apparently it bounces around up ahead. I know.
Interesting things you tell me.
I know. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing Mini. So we'll talk about that soon. But right now, we're going to talk about current events. What a mess. So there are some websites that are selling white supremacist and pro-Nazi paraphernalia, shirts and hats and bumper stickers, things like that. And Apple has blocked Apple Pay for the websites that are selling those products, at least for some of the sites. And what do you guys think about that?
Well, first of all, I am violently opposed to Nazi ideology and the so-called alt-right, and white supremacy in general. And that said, I am a big believer. There's a whole bunch of issues here, but I'm a big believer, Jeff, in free speech. And I believe that free speech is to protect free speech, we must project the scummiest of us. Like, I love what the ACLU does. The ACLU helped the Unite the Right fascists get their permit to march. Mm-hmm. I applaud that. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, it is extraordinarily important that we protect the right of people to speak, and that we prosecute actions rather than speech, unless of course that speech is exhorting people to
hate speech,
to do actions. Yeah. See, and that gets real tricky too. But mm-hmm. The reality is that Apple is not the public square. Free speech is protected in the public square, and Apple actually has the right to not allow whom they want. But I start getting really squirmy when Apple makes a decision like this. As much as I loathe white supremacy, I start getting really squirmy when companies are deciding who can sell stuff.
You know, there's a very interesting case in Colorado that bears exactly on what you were just talking about. About a bakery here in Denver somewhere. I don't know the details, but I read about it the other day. And these two guys came in to buy a wedding cake because they were going to get married. And the proprietor of the bakery said, "No, I really don't want to sell you a wedding cake." But he's open for business to the public. And the courts in Colorado have so far agreed with the couple. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of like Brian's notion that you prosecute actions but don't bang on people for uncomfortable beliefs. On the other hand, there is a demonstrable evil associated with neo-Nazism and hate and white supremacy. which needs to be spoken out against authoritatively. And many Republican legislators, congressmen and senators, pointed that out recently, that this is not something that we just lightly tolerate because it is a cancer.
All right. So first, I want to make it clear. I am very, very anti-Nazi, anti-racism, anti-white supremacy. And so with that in mind, John, what the example that you cited, I think it would be more appropriate or it would be a better parallel if a human rights activist went to the neo-Nazi website and said, I want to buy a t-shirt that has the Nazi SS logo on it. And they said, no, we won't sell it to you. As opposed to Apple saying, you can't use our service to sell the shirt.
Then, man, how is that pin you're dancing on?
It's ugly. This is a very ugly thing. But here's the other part, which is Apple's decision to not allow these websites to use Apple Pay is not exactly arbitrary, because in their terms of service, it specifically prohibits using Apple Pay for hate-related purchases.
Well, and that's similar to the arguments that GoDaddy and Google made in kicking the Daily Stormer off of their servers. That's a Nazi website, a Nazi blog, and GoDaddy was hosting them for the longest time, and they recently canned them as customers. And the Daily Stormer went to Google, and Google quickly canceled them too, and they were citing terms of service that included inciting something similar. It wasn't the exact same terminology, but it was something similar. Yeah, and I mean these are private companies. I think that John has a little bit of a little bit of a point at the very least that private companies should be free to do business with whom they wish. It just gets real tricky when we start.
No, I was taking the side of the couple in that bakery case.
Okay. Well, in that case, I think that we all may want to reexamine our premises, because I'm not sure why Apple gets to choose who it does business with and a bakery doesn't. And I am violently opposed to the baker in this case, their outlook on life and
I think the way to look at it is that in the one case you're talking about marriage, a sanctions institution of two loving people who want to build a family and live, you know, in the culture as a loving family. And
in
the
other case,
you're talking about people who, well, yeah, but.
It's an arbitrary distinction. We're talking about commerce. Does the company have the right to do business with whom they want, or do they not?
Well, the overlaying principle is you have to apply some moral reasoning to that and say, if you're discriminating against people because the American culture fought a war against Nazism and despises hatred and discrimination and white supremacy as espoused by Nazism, that's a culture that's instilled in all these EULAs in terms of service.
But
marriage between people is a sanctioned American cultural thing. So that's how you decide.
But the businesses aren't bestowing the marriage. Listen, there are no easy answers here. There are no easy answers here. And it is.
I hope I used the word sanction correctly. I may not have. Blessed, I should have said.
This is super tough stuff, and then the separation between free speech, which is only protected in the public square, gets really, really, really complex when it comes to, you know, businesses having rights and you know, I don't know, and this is tough. I am uncomfortable with with Apple's decision, even though I understand it, and even though I don't want these people selling stuff,
I'm not uncomfortable with it at all, Brian. I think that the way you fight hatred and Nazism and white supremacy is by refusing to do business with them and punishing them for being outside the society norms.
See, this is where it gets all murky and ugly. I mean, I personally am okay with not selling Nazi stuff to anyone. But is Apple a company, or is Apple in a position where it's okay for them to choose who is selling what products? As distasteful as that is to me. Now, as far as free speech goes, no, they're not infringing on anyone's free speech.
Apple does have the right to do this.
Yeah. I mean, it's in their terms of service, and they are not the government. Therefore, they cannot infringe on our freedom of speech.
And they also don't have any kind of monopoly on, and this is a point that John Key was making too, in his chat group. Mm-hmm. Apple doesn't have a monopoly on business payment transactions.
Right.
It would become substantially trickier if the one company that enabled internet payments or payments on the internet were to start blocking people based on ideology. That would become a lot messier.
Right. And we clearly don't have that, because you can still use your personal credit card, debit card, bank account, PayPal account, whatever account. You just can't use Apple Pay at these certain websites.
And I would argue that clearly the hands-off approach that we're taking has its downsides too. That we as a society have been taking has its downsides, as the internet has been used by hate groups to recruit and spread their ideology.
And very effectively.
Very effectively, yeah.
Yeah.
It's tricky stuff, man.
It is. And instead of sitting here just making myself sad about all this, I'm going to talk about our sponsor. Mm. Yes, iMazing Mini. So iMazing Mini is a fantastic tool for your iOS devices. So iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, that works with your computer. And it lets you back up your devices. And it gives you just incredible control over those backups. So unlike iTunes, which does its all or nothing backup, this lets you do backups where you're getting, where you're getting snapshots in time of your devices. So let's say you do something like install the iOS 11 public beta on your iPhone today. And then tonight you decide, you know, maybe going with the beta wasn't what I wanted to do. Okay, go to your iMazing Mini backup and restore your iPhone to yesterday's state. And now you're back in business. You can do stuff like that. So you can have multiple backups. You can have these snapshots in time. You can store these backups on other devices. So you can have a fully viable and reliable backup that's not stored on your main hard drive, or SSD, which I think is great. So now you can back up your iOS devices to something that you disconnect from your computer and put in a safe place. And it's free, and it's going to stay free. So it's not like some limited trial. It's just free. And I think that's fantastic. I love that the iMazing people get that being able to have real good control over our backups for iOS devices is that important. So they're willing to make iMazing Mini free so that everyone can back up. I love it. So go get your copy, iMazing.com, iMazing.com/mini. And when you go to that URL, you'll be able to download your copy of iMazing Mini, pop it on your computer, and then start taking some serious control over the backups of your iOS devices. And seriously, if you're running the betas of Apple's operating system, this is a great way to make sure that you don't end up completely screwed if something goes wrong. You can roll back to an earlier state and you're back in business. So thank you to iMazing for being our sponsor, iMazing.com/mini. Okay, so as long as we're on happy-go-lucky topics, Brian, you've been raising a bit of concern about the place we're in today related to a surveillance state, and what got me really interested in what you were saying was the fact that we have so many devices now that can record and record easily that they're essentially ubiquitous, and that makes a surveillance state, in my opinion, a lot easier to enact.
I am cranky about the surveillance state. Must be Thursday. So, yeah, credit goes actually to Adam Christensen for raising this topic. He was specifically talking about a couple of new devices whose sole intent is to always be on and always streaming. Mm-hmm. And one's a necklace and one, I don't even know what the other one is. I haven't dug into it yet. But
they're wearable devices.
They're wearable devices. Yeah. And they're designed to, you know, just be streaming constantly. And it occurred to me that the surveillance state is us. It's here and it's us. And we are surveilling ourselves and surveilling each other in ways that George Orwell never could have imagined in his worst nightmares. And we are, you know, we're putting all this stuff out there for everyone on the planet to use, for governments to be able to, you know, figure out what you're doing and who you're seeing and who's seeing whom and who's saying what and where we're going, and for criminal organizations to do the same thing, and for companies to mine our lives as the giant treasure trove that they are for their own profit. And, you know, I think we as a culture here in the United States, at least, have fretted about the surveillance state on and off again for decades. And in reality, here we are, we're doing it to ourselves.
Can I take a contrarian view, Brian, as I tend to do?
Yes, please.
Do as thou wilt.
I distinguish between surveillance state and the archival state. It's one thing for the government to say, perform unlawful surveillance on somebody for the sake of collecting information on a whim or even for a reason, but without a warrant or something along those lines. What we normally think of, you know, government unlawful or on illegal surveillance of people in an unwanted way. But what we talked about in the morning meeting seemed to me something that had a slightly different flavor, and that is recording the history of the actions of our planet. There are so many things that have been lost into history, events where no camera was rolling and no photograph was taken. And we only have people's recollections, and people's recollections subtly change, possibly, over time. Mm-hmm. And so I think in some ways, it's beneficial to, outside the context of inappropriate and ill-used law enforcement, to think about recording the life and times of our people and storing them in the cloud for future access. What was happening at the corner when that event happened? Well, let's go back and look in time. It's like having a time machine. And I think there's beneficial things that can happen in terms of going back and looking at maybe how a bridge was reacting to a windstorm and understanding the physics that was going on, or looking at some event in the past that you know, a alien spaceship landed in a field and nobody was looking, so nobody knew it was there, except that kid who had his iPhone camera rolling. And now we've got video, we can go look. So many stories like that I think it's helpful in some ways
I completely agree with everything. So, wait, hold on now. Now, what's the other one?
Balderdash. That's it. Balderdash.
Ah, yes.
Balder freaking dash, man. The whole point here, though, John, is that, I get the sort of obsessive potential for archiving that you're talking about. I get that potential benefit. But the reality is that the state, and I don't just mean here in the United States, I mean all of the states everywhere are able to plumb all this to for the purposes of the surveillance state. That's what I'm talking about. Mm. We are voluntarily enabling and empowering the surveillance state into you know, stronger existence than it's ever been before. And I think that outweighs the benefits that you're talking about.
Yeah, but these cameras are generally in public, and public actions are publicly accountable. So if you drive your car into a crowd and you get caught on surveillance video and your license plate and your ID, you pay facial recognition or something, and you conduct a crime in public, you're publicly accountable.
So what you're saying to me is that if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about. Is that what you're saying to me, John? Is that what you're saying to me?
Well, that's a term that has emotional context to it. But what I'm saying is if you commit a crime in public, being able to capture photographic evidence is useful.
The problem isn't when people commit crimes, they in fact need to be caught. But what is a crime today and what is a crime tomorrow? For instance, when does it become a crime to speak ill of the president? And when does it become a crime to talk bad about the party?
Well, that's for the courts and the defense attorneys and the legislatures to work out. No, but
we must always be on guard against this stuff in order to prevent that. But
you don't do it by destroying all the cameras or making them illegal. You do it by societies agreeing on how to conduct its own business through the laws.
Fortunately, I didn't argue that we should destroy all the cameras. I'm just saying that we are enabling the surveillance state.
All right. So here's the issue that I see with all the cameras that we have right now. There's a difference between cameras that the government installs, as an example, if I walk down 16th Pearl Street Mall in Boulder, I can look up and on the roofs of several buildings at street corners, there are cameras that the city's installed for surveillance. Okay, that's the government doing it. But let's say everyone on Pearl Street Mall is wearing a camera on their shirt. And now the government knows we're all wearing cameras, and now we make that leap from everyone's wearing a camera to the government now requiring that we make that video from our cameras available to
them. You got to the very crux of the problem, and it applies also to iPhone privacy and encryption. When the government should be making laws that are in accordance with our moral principles, the government decides not to enact those laws so that it has the convenience of being able to, you know, as you said, issue warrants for that data, and nothing can stop that.
My whole point here is that the government doesn't have to issue warrants for all this surveillance that we're putting out there, nor does the government have to require us to wear these cameras because we are voluntarily wearing them. It's the whole thing. It's my entire point. We are enabling the surveillance state voluntarily, willingly, and happily.
I agree. And I think the next logical step from a government that's embracing a surveillance state is then taking advantage of all the cameras we're wearing.
Oh, that's happening. That's happening now.
Yeah.
That is already happening, and it's only going to become more pervasive and complete.
Well, on that happy note, we're out of time. We have to wrap up.
This has been a happy episode.
No kidding. I have to come up with fun topics for Friday just to balance out today. But hey, thank you, Brian, for being here and being willing to take on tough topics like this.
Of course.
And John, thank you for being here as well and bringing your perspective on these topics too.
Well, I can't say I was happy to, but I was happy to be on the show, and thanks for having me.
No, I totally get it, and I'm really glad both of you are here, and I'm also really glad that iMazing Mini has been our sponsor today. Head over to their website, iMazing.com/mini, pick up your free copy of iMazing Mini, and start backing up your iOS devices today. And listeners, I am so glad that you are here as well. I'm going to do my best to find fun topics for tomorrow. And thanks for listening. See you on Friday.